All right. I'm not behind the mixing console this morning, so if I'm not being heard, that's it's not my fault. Well, good morning. I've been singing that song since I received the email of our worship. So we have an email that goes out with what's going to be done. And I've been singing that song ever since that email, so that's pretty awesome. If you're visiting with us online today, or if you're visiting with us here in the group, obviously very happy to see you guys here. Hope you are able to worship God with us and just really be able to connect with God. That's really our hope as we worship a great and awesome God, a God that has done so much. Needless to say that this is the dynamic that I love. During the pandemic, I had the privilege of doing a couple of lessons online, talking strictly to a camera, and let's just say, it works, but it's not awesome. There's just something about the live crowd, the people connecting with the eyes, seeing people coming together to worship God and enjoy that, that just is uniquely different than being online. Just saying. Well, as most of you are aware, we are going through a series based on the Thread podcasts that we have all been kind of hopefully watching. And I don't know if you guys have had a chance to check those podcasts out, but they're great. As I actually shared with Tony, who's not here this week, of course, obviously Melanie's here, but Tony's not. I said that the podcasts really work for me because I'm a person who loves that one-on-one, that intimacy. And when you see two people, you can hear them, but when you see the facial, when you see the subtleties, the pregnant pauses that come in, all those things, that really helps me connect. And so I don't know if that's been your experience, but hopefully you've been enjoying them. I find them to be very, very rich. I've actually watched them 2 and 3 times, pretty much each one of them. I think this one I might have watched about 4 times because I'm preaching on it, but at the end of the day, I did actually enjoy those podcasts to the point where I wanted to go back through them and just really get as much out of them as I possibly could. So I'm hoping that's working for you as well. So as I said, we're working on those podcasts. We're in Era 1, which is God's World Created, and I think it's right there. The last episode that Tony did last Sunday, which was episode 7, was Light and Darkness. Today's episode, episode 8, Becoming Fully Human. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. If you're a person who thinks, and hopefully you guys are, I do, you really have to think about why God created man. I don't know if you've ever done that. Deeply pondered why God would put himself through the challenges that we present to him, to be fair. Have you ever thought deeply about that? What was the desire God had? Well, I'm not necessarily going to dig deep, deep into that. That's for you to think about. But what I do want to share is that there's not a lot of scripture that talks about prior to Genesis. We know that there was war in heaven. We know there's some things that obviously happened, but we're not aware of all of it. But what I find interesting, and I'll share because my job, I work at Carleton University, and my job is multiple hats, really. But two of the hats I wear on a regular basis are as a designer and as a project manager. And those two jobs require a different set of skills. They're similar, and they cobble together in certain ways, and that works well for me. But when you're a designer, you're thinking through all the things that you have to really make sure are in place. And sometimes that's a conversation with a stakeholder. So I design classrooms specifically and design the technology that goes into the classrooms. And so when I'm getting together with a department and they're trying to outfit a department, I really have to ask a lot of questions. What about this? Are you planning to do this? And experience tells me that there are times where I'm going to ask a question, they're going to say no, but they really mean yes, because they don't know. just a fact, right? It just happens that they don't really know. And yet, from all the other details I've gathered, I kind of know. Yeah, you actually will want this. And you're going to come to me a little later on, which we call Project Creep. And you're going to say, oh, can we do this? Yeah. I always want to be able to say, of course. I thought about that as we were going through everything, and so I've got a provision for that, so we're good. The project management side is where you plan, and then you execute the plan. That's the idea anyway. So with those two things in mind, when I think about God sitting down and thinking about what was man going to need, because that had to happen. I mean, we've already looked in Genesis 1. We see a lot of stuff that was created. And it's because what was needed for man had to be there. So we're going to read in a couple minutes there a passage that talks about God doing that, thinking about us. The important thing to understand is that when we think about all of that he planned, what would we breathe? What will we eat? What will we eventually get up to over time? You know, I'm a bit of a space nut, so of course the James Webb telescope's been a thing that's been, and you know, of course, the science is always looking to prove the postulations that these scientists have put together. Oh, the world is so many billion years old, and the universe is this many billion years old, and so if you'd all follow any of that, and I don't claim to be an expert by any means, but the whole idea behind that telescope is that it was going to be able to check the infrared spectrum and see the redshift, which dictates travel of time and so on, and there's all sorts of fun stuff there. And what they've been able to do now is looking as far as the telescope can see. They think they're hitting about 13 billion years, and they're seeing galaxies that are already put together and stuff like that, and it's just that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because that's when they believe it has started. So we should be just seeing them forming. Well, yeah, they've taken God out of the equation. God just made that stuff. It was already ready, you know, like the chicken or the egg. Of course it was the chicken. It had a reproductive system. But that all to be said, I think the idea here is that we know our God is awesome. We know that he's powerful and that he has really done a lot of thinking ahead of time, and he has really striven to do everything for us to make the path clear. I mean, he's done everything. Everything. Given us a beautiful planet to live on, incredible stars to look at night that reach so far beyond the imagination, beautiful plants, animals. That's all of what we see in the creation, right? In those first verses in chapter 1, we see an incredible, incredible creation. All for us. Why? Why did God want to make us? The most important thing to know is that is exactly the same thing as project management. Plan, and execute the plan. Here's the cool part. God's plan, still flawless. Still flawless. Amazing. So here's a couple things. When we think about us, I don't know what you think about man, but I can tell you that we're a work in progress. And God knows that. And so we're going to go to the first scripture here in Jeremiah 18. And we're going to sort of see how God presented some information to Jeremiah. So, and that'll be in verses 1 to 4, which is up here. Good. And it says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. You know, from this passage, we're painted a picture that there's a potter who's working a lump of clay. And as he's working it, something happens. And so what he was making wasn't going to be good. So he reshapes it, turns it into something more, something different. You know, it's interesting to think about us as clay in God's hands, because that's what we are. And God is working on us every day, shaping us, molding us, making us something for a purpose he has already set. And we're going to look at that as we look through the scriptures. You know, the thing about clay is it's moldable as long as it's moist. You can actually continue to shape that on and on and on. You can add a little bit more water and it continues to be shapeable. But there comes a point when it dries, that's no longer the case. We'll talk about that at the end. You know, we're going to see here in a couple of seconds in scriptures that we were designed from two perspectives. The end of chapter 1 has one account of the creation, and chapter 2 has a different perspective on the creation. Both of them are harmonious. They're both not in contradiction. They both complement each other. And they give us perspective. And that's the point of those two passages, is to give us perspective. Just as there are four Gospels, and they're from different perspectives, Matthew, a tax collector, John, a fisherman, Luke, a doctor, these are the same kinds of concepts that are coming across in these two chapters. Perspective, different viewpoints, making different points about the same thing. You know, it's important to always think about these two passages in the correct way. They're not a scientific document. They're not designed to be a dissertation in science. They're not designed as a truly historical account with all the details. They're not myth. As the podcast kind of put it, they're actually a proclamation of intent. That God was creating man, and he was making him this way for this purpose. It's a proclamation. And in fact, it's a love story. You know, God, from the very beginning, desired to have a good relationship with us. A deep relationship. A relationship that meant much more than we can even possibly imagine in our human thinking. And here's the interesting thing. I will not be able to do it justice in this three-hour time slot I've been given. Oh, sorry, not 3 hours? Okay, sorry. 2.5 hours. Okay, no, I'm just joking. I'll try and keep it short. Those of you who know me truly know that's going to be hard. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to pick up the story. And so as I said, you know, God had a plan right from the get-go. There's no contingencies in the scriptures. There's nothing where God said, oh, that didn't work. Let's do something else. So let's see what it says here in verse 26. It said, then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So these two verses, we catch a glimpse of this awesome God that we know. The text refers to it in the plural. Let us. I don't know if you talk to yourself. just kind of going to go out on a limb. I hope you don't often say, let us. Not talking about mental issues here, you know, but if you're a multiple personality, maybe you do that. But for the most part, for most of us, we think in a singular term. But the scriptures kind of clarify that that's not this great God that we serve. In fact, it seems God is more than one. When we think about the decisions being made, it's like a collective decision being made. It's like H2O. It has three different states: ice, water, and steam. But they're all H2O. And like that, the God of heaven is referred to in scriptures in three different ways as well: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of them make up the same Godhead. And that is the God that we serve. And so with that, he had some plans. And so we saw that earlier in Genesis 1, that when God made the animals, he made them according to their kind. You know, and I started thinking about, what does that mean? Like, when you think about cats, how many species of cats are there out there? Leopards, lions, house cats, bobcats, I mean, on and on and on. That's a kind of animal in my mind. But mankind? There's only one of us. Yeah. Only one kind of man, both male and female, mankind. That's it. Yeah. And it says that God made us him in his image, in his likeness. Now that speaks of the heavenly influence, which is kind of what Genesis 1 really refers to, is that God's intent, God's intervene with man and his development is from the heavenly perspective. But we see here that this statement, image, comes out. And I don't know what you think of. What does that really mean to you? You know, in our society, I mean, there's a lot of focus on image. You probably thought today about how you wanted to come here today. You know, if you're at home, you're probably not too worried about it. But if you're here, you might have said, I'm going to throw on a nicer shirt. I'm going to wear this pair of shoes. I might even put on this watch or whatever it is. So that's your image. That's how you're going to make your impressions, your first impressions. The scriptures talk about that not being all that important unless we're representing God. And so when God made us in his image, we are to reflect God. That's what we are to do. And when we see that our society wants to focus on image, about status, we got filters on Instagram and Facebook and all those different things where you can look like a cat or whatever. I don't even know. That just speaks on a whole nother level that I'm not interested in. But our society sees that as important. And in fact, it is somewhat important because we as Christians need to represent as Christians. Right. We need to present as those who have been redeemed. Right. What about in his likeness? Is that different? It really is. Because we need to be like him. That talks about the heart, the soul, the mind. Our entity needs to be like God. Right. You know, I think the important thing here is that when we look at what God designed in us, yeah, was the ability to enter into a relationship with him different than all the other animals. We have an intellect. We have a soul. We have a spirit. We have so many things that really the animals do not have, right? And we were given a responsibility, as we saw there, said that we want to make them so that they can rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals. That's a responsibility we're given. And later on, as we read more, there's more to it. The important thing for us to understand is that is still our responsibility, that we are still to represent correctly. Well, how do you know where to be correct or how to be correct? Well, you got to go back to the source. You got to go back to the scriptures, and you got to see how God would have done it, because that's who we were made to be like. You know, there's a couple of passages that are not here necessarily, but when it comes to our likeness, I just want to share Matthew 7:16. It says, you know, by their fruits, you will know them. John 13:35. Men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. When people come amongst us, they should see something. They should see the right thing. A loving family that truly is happy to be here, truly happy to worship an incredible God. Amen? So he made us with the responsibilities and the abilities to oversee this planet. Now that speaks about the requirement of intelligence, wisdom, temperance, the ability to make decisions and to reason, and to show compassion and mercy. Those are all characteristics of God. That is what we need to be like. And so when we think about God and we think about those characteristics, he's given them to us as things that we can rely on, providing we're in touch with who God is. And we're different than the animals. That's why we were made in his likeness. Let's continue. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 30. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the living creatures that move on the ground. Then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. As I said before, God planned all that. And here he clarifies it for us. This is what it's going to be. Gives us the first command to be fruitful and increase in number. And of course, we know that they did that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. At the end of the day, he basically did everything that we needed ahead of us so that when he issued these decrees, we would be ready for them. Amen. And after he did all that, in verse 31, Genesis 1, 31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, as I said to you before, talking about the sky, the stars, and all of that, God did all that, and he saw that it was very good. And we, to this day, are still looking at that creation and saying, it's very good. Amen? I think all too often when we look at those things, sometimes we take them for granted. We're told, you know, slow down. Take time to smell the flowers. When's the last time you did that? It's actually really encouraging. It's very refreshing. And it's what really we need to do as God's creation. We need to be grounded in those things that are around us. So this is the responsibility we have, to take care of this planet, to rule over it, and to subdue it. It's a huge responsibility. How are we doing with that? When we look at all the things that are going on around us in the world, all the destruction, all the various things that we're polluting, islands floating around the ocean, radioactive water, We're not doing that very well, are we? And I would put there's a correlation because the world has stopped paying attention here to these very responsibilities in the early, early days. And that in itself is a problem. You know, Romans 1, verse 20 says that we're without excuse because of the creation. That when we look at it, we see that there is a sovereign God who made it all possible. Yeah. That is what we need to do. Always look at the creation. So that's the Genesis 1 account. In Genesis 2, we'll pick it up in verse 4, and we'll read from a different perspective. And it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Skipping down to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So here we see a different account of man. It doesn't have that same influence of heaven coming down, creating the man. No, in fact, we're just dirt. Dirt that God made special by breathing life into us. I don't know how much you've ever thought about how incredible dirt is. A lot of you probably have not. But think of all the things that grow out of the ground. I mean, in fact, you just throw seeds on the ground and it's off. And that's a thing that God designed. That's one of God's thoughts made real. I want to make a little tiny thing, as Jesus put it, the mustard seed, smallest of seeds, turns into a mighty plant. That is the ground that we were made from. A ground that is powerful to create life. But only because of God. Amen. Only because of God. And so it says that we were formed from the dust of the earth. And that, in fact, it was him who breathed life into us. And that's what makes us different. Right. In all the science, they can say, oh, you're just all these amino acids and all these different, you know, molecules and all that stuff. Yeah, just. So how come you're not making people? Oh, well, we can't do that. Yeah, that's right, because God holds the germ within his hand. That's right. We will never be able to do that. We can never imitate God in that level. Yeah. And it is because of that that we always need to look to him as the one and only God who created all things and holds that germ deep in his hand. Amen. You know, as we think about our likeness, it might be hard to kind of always know the right thing to do. But the scriptures always point to Jesus, amen? And so when we think about Jesus, we think about his example to us and how we are to follow him. And so in Colossians chapter 1, we see just a single verse here that really helps us put perspective on who Jesus is. And it says, verse 15, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." This makes it clear. He is the image. He is what we strive to be like. It's clear. In fact, there was a movement some time ago, what would Jesus do? You know, and it kind of took on a life of its own in a sense, but, you know, it's not a bad way to think. Because often, we don't really always have the answers. But when you know the man, when you know Jesus and you know how he thinks, how he responded, how he dealt with situations that came up, it's easy to know. Because would Jesus do that? No. No, he wouldn't do that. He is what we were made to be like. In Hebrews chapter 1, we see another reference. In verse 3, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." You see that Jesus, Scripture tells us, there was nothing really special about him. Isaiah's passage and foretelling is that there was nothing special about him. And yet, what was special about him is exactly this. Is he was the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He was exactly what God wanted us to be when God created us. And that is why he is our example. That is why we follow him. And it says that he sustains all things by his powerful word. Even to this day, because of Jesus, we are plain and simple. It says, after he provided purification for sins. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But Jesus did incredible things. After he had done that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He's our king. Jesus is our king. I know in these days, kings don't seem to have the same sort of thing. And we look at certain kings in the world and they're not this king. This is the ultimate king, and he deserves our worship. Psalm 103. You know, as God often puts in his word things that help us to put perspective on things. In Psalm 103 and verse 13, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust." God has put perspective on who we are in this passage. He looks at us justly as a loving father. Amen for that, because I wouldn't want any other father. He is an awesome, awesome father. And he sees that we are just dust. Struggling to get through this world. Struggling with the challenges that come. The immense responsibility on our shoulders. To represent the Almighty God. Amen? And this is the God who has called us his own. Why did he build us? Why did he make us? What is it that God had in mind? A deep relationship with his creation. So much so that he was willing to forgive us of our iniquities, our falling short. He wants to know us intimately. Amen. You know, it's a passage that a lot of us are familiar with in Jeremiah chapter 17. And we often cite this passage as a passage about not following your heart all the time. Because sometimes that's going to lead you astray. So Jeremiah 17, verse 9. But we often don't read the next passage right behind it. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." You know, God has been working throughout our entire history to help us find him, to have a right heart. And his scriptures guide us through those challenges. But this scripture reminds us that he's looking to reward us. God wants to reward us. Hope that encourages you this morning. You know, there's many different passages that talk about that reward. Talk about the fact that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's in Hebrews chapter 11. These are the things we need to cling on to as we strive to refine our character, as we strive to be the people that God has called us to be. Amen. You know, next week, Michael Richards will be bringing the next lesson, Human Limitations. And I know we'll cover that in the next chapter, but God walked with us in the garden in the early days. That's the relationship he wanted. That's the relationship he still wants. He still wants that relationship, amen? He's always been looking to have that intimacy. So when you think about the title of this lesson today, Becoming Fully Human, what comes to mind? I know when I first looked at the passage, before I had added the podcast, I had a bit of a preamble as to what the lesson would be about. And a couple of things came to mind. See if this is one of them that might come to mind when you think about becoming fully human. Matthew chapter 22. In verse 36, it says that Jesus was questioned by this person. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. How do we become fully human? We go to the Creator. And we love him first and foremost. Because he is the one who designed us. He is the one who planned the world we live in. He is the one who created the blueprint, gave us the manual. So of course you got to love him. Amen. And when you think about all these beautiful creations around us, not the ones that man has corrupted or made a mess of, when you think about the beauty of the heart, you think about the beauty of the creation as it was intended, it's not hard to think about loving that God. It's not hard to think what an awesome blessing the Lord God is to me in my life. It should be easy to follow this command. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. We'll see also next week, there's some limitations. Those are limitations that we have to overcome every day. But the scriptures make that clear. We need to do that. Why? Because again, as we love, as we show the world, what true Christianity is like, when people are living according to the scriptures, living to love the Lord God Almighty, living to give their all, their very person over to that God, what he can do. God can take that clay and make it something awesome. Amen? Amen. When we think about how would we love our neighbors? Because that was the point of that second command. Yeah. Jesus makes it easy. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it says, do to others as you'd have them do to you. Amen. It's pretty simple, eh? Yep. Would I like it if somebody did this to me? Probably not, right? Yep. So maybe I shouldn't do that to them. Yep. It's pretty straightforward. Yep. It's known as the golden rule, right? It's not complicated. It just takes you in tune with who we are in this world. For some, it might be the challenge of knowing how to treat yourself. And so for you, I say, get back into the Word and see how God wants to treat you. Amen. That'll clarify things. Because God thinks of you as awesome. Of course he does. As we'll see in a minute. He gave his son for us. I think the important thing to always think about is we have a responsibility. We are the image of God. We are made in his likeness. That is our responsibility, to represent properly in this world. You know, if you go back to Jeremiah, as I shared in the first passage in 18, he goes to the potter's house and he sees the clay being made. In 19, God tells him to go buy a pot and to bring it to the gate of Ben-Hinnom and to take that pot and to break it. And to tell the people, because they had been disobedient, they had been worshiping false gods, they had been doing all sorts of wicked things, that he would break the nation like that pot. And it would never be able to be put back together again. Today we have some interesting things going on in the world. Challenges that maybe we're talking about right here in Scripture. But these people have become stiff-necked. They've become hard like the pot. Brittle. Not flexible, moldable like the clay. We need to be like the clay. Amen? We need to be humble, moldable, instructable. All the words that kind of describe a tender, moldable individual. And not be hard and stiff-necked like these people. As we segue into communion, we come into the most important part of this worship. It's really as we spend some time together communing with God. It's really as we focus on the proper response to all that God has done, right? To reflect on what Jesus did for us. You know, every week we come together to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We do that because we as people can be fickle. We can be shallow. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of how awesome God is. You know, the thing that's always impressive about God is he always leads by example. He always gives first. He created the world. He created all the things we enjoy. He sent us his son, who, as we saw in the earlier scripture, was the firstborn, who gave his life up for us. Amen. When we think about those things, that is this time. In Romans chapter 12, we see verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Amen. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. If you do not have a communion package, just put up your hand and the ushers will come around. You know, what we've got to be clear here is that we are to give our lives as a living sacrifice. We are to give back. And we are to be changed. We need to think differently. We need to see things differently, understand things differently in perspective of what Jesus has done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's our hope, amen? Amen. Verse 16, he says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's that change of the mind. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Think of what that means. There's so much to unpack there. But think about it. We are Christ's ambassadors. We're compelled by his love. We're motivated to do the incredible things. And because we have put on Christ in the waters of baptism, we've become the righteousness of God. You want to talk about responsibility? That's big. Our responsibility in this world, our example, that's our responsibility. As we think about God, as we think more about Christ and his sacrifice, we need to really reflect deeply on the blessings that we've been given. So many blessings. Yeah. As we take the emblems that remind us of the body that was broken at the cross, as we take the fruit of the vine that reminds us of his blood that spilt from his head, his hands, his feet, his side, it's that blood that continues to wash us every day and makes us pure and holy before God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for the incredible blessings that we enjoy because of your Son, because of who you are. Father, that you were willing to see us as we are, as dust, and yet to redeem us from that and make us something special. Father, in fact, because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, we are your righteousness in this world. We are your ambassadors. As we take those emblems, the bread that represents his body, that you willingly sacrificed so that we could have salvation, as we think of the fruit of the vine, reminding us of the blood of Christ, Father, we're deeply moved by the love that you've shown us through those acts. We know you're a great God. Father, we pray that you bless our time this morning as we really come to you in communion and in humility. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.